It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security. Welcome to the National Security Hour. Tonight we have a special entree of guests here and co-hosts, basically every one of us from the National Security Hour. There's Dr. Michael Scheuer, who's a former chief of Osama bin Laden, worked many years like I did at the CIA, excellent writer, excellent mind, and a lot of excellent books you should go out there and read. Then there's Colonel Mike, the other half of the two Mikes, okay? Former liaison in Southeast Asia for many years, caused many sorts of troubles, probably threw over a couple different governments or two. We'll probably never know for another 50 years, unless it was found in Joe Biden's office, of course. And then Lieutenant Colonel Sarja Sangari, okay, retired U.S. Army, Iranian-born Assyrian, retired from the U.S. Army Infantry and Special Operations Forces. He's had more than two decades of military experience, okay? Most of it, I believe, in the Middle East, okay? But we can let him amplify that in a moment, okay? He has a unique perspective in geopolitical and security issues. And by the way, he's press credentialed by the international press. And then there's me, Schmuckatelli, Ed Hoglan, also a host on the NASA Security Hour. You can catch all of our shows at 8 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And besides the two Mikes, myself and Sargis, you'll hear our producer, Mary Fanning. You hear the two generals, McInerney and Paul Valley, and other great guests and other great co-hosts and stuff like that. So today we're going to continue discussion with the two Mikes, but we're going to add Sargis on here. A discussion that started over a few weekends here with myself, Colonel Mike, and Dr. Mike on what's happening worldwide. Now, we covered Ukraine, Russia, China in the last episode here. Today, we're going to focus on Iran and Israel and whatever else crawls into the pathway here. But a little background here is that for all of us on this show here, we care greatly about American and American security. Okay, we do have differences, but we do have a professional and courteous debate. So today's discussion is just that. There's a lot of questions and a lot of different perspectives that people need to hear on what's going on with Israel and Iran and other such. So let me turn to our moderator today, Colonel Mike. And Colonel Mike, once you start us off with the first, any additional introductions and your first question or whatever.
All right. So, hey, let's all say hello. It's the whole gang on one show, which we haven't done in a very long time. So I'm happy to be back with Dr. Mike and Sargis and Ed. And I think I'd like to go to Sargis on the first question. And Sargis, what do you see right now with Iran? Now, the way they're writing the headlines, even the Washington Times, which is like our noted paper in Washington, it's almost like trick writing the headlines. It's like the editor missed it, Bill Gertz. You know, why isn't Joe Biden coming to the rescue? Why they expect like America to do foreign diplomacy, foreign policy, when we can't, we don't even have people that can handle that. And now it's like, why is Iran attacking Israel? Can you break open with that one for us, Sargis?
First of all, thank you for having me here. Ed is a pleasure, and two mics, of course. I know you guys for a while now. A wonderful job that you all do on your show. Everything that happens in these world politics is really a decision that everyone has to kind of buy into. So I have a show called New Paradigms with Sargis Sangari, which is my own podcast that I air on Mondays. And part of how I see what is happening in the region right now is that when initially Abraham Accords came to be, we saw that the Arab nations had made a decision that we are going to make a change for our economic benefit. Iran was going to be isolated in this process, even though it's part of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization that is led by China in the long run. So it was a logical understanding that they would have to be some kind of a action, possible multi-action for them to kind of project their political might in this economic discussion that they saw taking place in the future. Because, you know, these countries are looking 20, 30 years in the future, just like we do sometimes. Mike would know, even, you know, Defense Intelligence Agency kind of looks out that far. The issue became, how do we get there, right? We knew that just a few years ago, the Sykes-Picot Agreement, which was a contractual agreement for the Middle East between the French and the British, ran out. So the only two players that came on the scene were the United States and Russia. Unfortunately, for those who have been making agreements for the past 25 years prior to that expiration of the Sykes-Picot, nobody was figuring that suddenly Trump would come in and sit in a position that would possibly nullify a lot of their agreements that they had made prior to expiration of the Sykes-Picot Agreement. So what happens is where we are today. Iran is going to be more likely a nuclear power in the future. The first country that ever worked on Iran to be a nuclear power before the Shah fell from power was actually Israel. Because Israel, when they looked at the geographic landscape and understanding that in the future they would have to counter against expanding China and also Russia, they knew that where Iran sits, Iran in the north is bordered by Russia, which is a nuclear power. To its west is bordered by Pakistan, a nuclear power. Two countries removed is bordered by China, to either Pakistan, Afghanistan, a nuclear power. Two countries removed where India is through Pakistan, or one country removed through Pakistan is a nuclear power. And of course, North Korea being a nuclear power. So Iran was going to be a nuclear power. And from the United States side of the house also, the U.S. knew that the two countries that really were not happy if Iran ever becomes a nuclear power would be Russia and China. Because if Iran, which is mostly Western looking, ever became a nuclear power and joined the West, it would completely change the entire landscape and the future of what the Middle East would look like and how Asia's influence would dissipate globally.
Quick question, Sergeant.
Go
So, is this because of having sanctions on Russia? This was inevitable, or is this because of the money that was sent by Obama and Biden to the Iranians? What do you think?
It was both, but it was initially an agreement that I posted, and I've talked to you guys about this. Ed may not know about it, but it was the new power relations, right? So during the years of the Obama administration, Susan Rice, Hillary Clinton, and the vice president at that time, Biden, they decided to choose to mirror the Chinese Communist Party's inspired global reset plan that they had. And that was proposed by Wang Yi. And the name of that global reset speech was titled The New Power Relations, which he presented at the Brookings Institute. The geostrategic plan promoted a new, highly polarized world that was divided into three spheres, right? So you're talking about the influence control of China, Europe, or Russia, or America. And part of the whole Russia Europe war is who is going to emerge, because they really never settled on who should be the power in Europe. When Susan Rice took to stage in George Washington University, instead of countering it, she talked about how we can maybe actualize it. Actually, those were her words out of her mouth. And lo and behold, that's when that concept of the managed decline came about, which even Representative Paul Ryan had described what was President Obama's administration work to try to actualize that managed decline, which would force U.S. to retreat to the to looking internal into his country and possibly South America, allowing other nations to come into the Middle East and compete for the resources that we may say we may not need. From the U.S. perspective, also, when they looked at the possibility of can Iran become a nuclear power or not, the U.S. always said they don't have the ballistic capability for intercontinental missiles to be able to put anything on it and launch it towards the U.S. So if it's not going to be a issue we have to deal with, and that's how some people think about it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That's how they think about it. And the current administration, then why should we worry about it?
All
Let
right,
it.
hang on, Sergeant, just hold that thought. Let's go to Ed. Ed, why don't you answer that one?
Well, so
That's a heck of a lot to unpack there. And Sarge just put on a
just
lot of
a
really,
little bit. Just give us a
yeah,
little bit.
Oh yeah. Oh no, I'm going to, yeah, just a touch. So from my perspective, you know, a lot of what Sarge has talked about, I think, is on the mark, but this is where the U.S. and Israel and what's happening in Israel there, stuff like that, who's responsible for that? I think Israel bears a lot to blame for this reason. 20 years they allowed the Hamas to rule Gaza. 20 years they allowed them to build the tunnels and stuff. 20 years they allowed them to indoctrinate like probably four generations of new people with the mindset that they've had there. You can't kill an idea. The U.S. is just as culpable in that, because the U.S. has failed continually to understand this is a cognitive war. And but inside the U.S., to Sarge's point, now go over to Dr. Mike, with Biden, with Obama, the Clintons and stuff in this new powers relationship, this is part of what my concern has been on the forefront, is we're in this large cognitive war. It's purposeful. It's planned, as he talked about the man's decline, because people want to remove not just the U.S., want to remove our freedoms, period. And the way they do that is piece by piece globally and then concurrently inside the U.S. And so a lot to unpack there. Back to you, Colonel Mike.
All right. So I'm going to go to Dr. Mike. So, Dr. Mike, your opinion on this, and without getting into, you know, we don't want to get involved in other wars overseas. Don't you feel, I mean, we've said this many times on the show, that we bear a lot of responsibility for failures in the world, but it's not our responsibility to care for everybody in the world. Am I correct?
Well, it's certainly not our responsibility to care for anybody in the world. All we need to be is a trading nation. It's not necessary to get involved in other people's fights. In terms of Palestine and Israel, I think you have to blame the British. Everywhere you look in the Middle East and probably big parts of Asia, the British are responsible and are still responsible for today what goes on. But, you know, the problem should not for Americans be all that difficult. You fight with people who attack you. You don't need friends. And my God, it's time we all come to grips with the fact that democracy is the worst kind of government, because it leads exactly to where we are today with America and Europe, Canada, Australia, all being dictated to by their leaders. It creates a tyranny, just as the founders said. And a big part of our road to where we are today has been wars, especially since 1945. So I'm not lacking in empathy for people, but I'm also not going to support any kind of an American action against a foreign country because it did something we didn't like in their own region. That doesn't really bother us.
Okay, Dr. Mike, we're going to expand a little bit on the second segment. I'd like to do it with Sargis and Ed about the British. We should do a little deep dive, because Sargis understands, and I think Ed would understand also, that a lot of this conflict that we're facing right now around the globe has a long history, you know, since the British were an empire back in the day. And almost every conflict we get involved with, you could see the footprints somewhere. You know, whether it was during World War One, World War Two, and now, I mean, you know, you guys in the intel business, you know how they operate, and you know what they did to us on an election. We cannot deny it. What we call the Five Guys hamburgers, we have the Five IIC guys. They were all in on it because they like Obama and they like Biden. I'm going to you, Ed. Go ahead.
So I'll agree with you 100% there, is that the way, and Dr. Mike said this eloquently in our last segment there, is our once so-called allies in Europe and NATO, a majority of those have moved towards not only the socialist ideology and communist ideology, but more so, from my perspective, they've moved towards subjugation of the freedoms and such. They've used the auspices of democracy to basically take away democracy and freedoms from people. And to Dr. Mike's other point, since 1945, we've had a number of different wars. You know, from my perspective, we haven't won a single war since World War II, less the Korean War, which was a stalemate. Why? Because we never cognitively won the war. We might have killed a lot of people. We might have blown a lot of things up, But when we left without achieving our objectives because we have no strategy here. And so what we're doing is we're living off the fumes and vestiges of age-old doctrine and age-old ideologies from the British and other elements, and leading folks like the Clintons, the Obamas, and even the Bushes, okay, now try to drive us towards that same type of globalism, okay? Whereas, to Dr. Mike's point, I agree, U.S. needs to be taking care of itself primarily. And if you mess with us, we're going to mess with you. But if you don't mess with us, okay, fine, we move on. But we need to have a broader plan and strategy. And going back to Palestine and Israel and such like that, right now, hope is not a plan. The two-state solution has never been a plan. It's been a ruse for 77 years. And so how do we get out of this in the future? That's something I think we could talk about in a minute here. Now, we got about a minute left in this segment here. Let me go ahead and fill this for just real quick here. Before we go to break, when we come back, I'm going to talk more about the UK and Britain. We'll get Colonel Mike back on.
I'm on, Ed. It's okay. We'll get ready for the break, but I want to talk about Britain. And yeah. I agree with your last statement. And the problem is it was all about building China, putting us in the rearview mirror. And remember what George H.W. Bush said, we're going to have a new world order. And he was a globalist way back when. So, Ed, take it away for the close and we'll go to commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, you're correct on the last point. So remember, whether it's Sargis, whether it's the two Mikes, whether it's myself or the generals, okay, make sure that AmericaOutloud.news, make sure that AmericaOutloud.news is your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. You know, we all got to do our part to share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so we can help secure America's future. We'll be right back.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's the perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back to the Master Security Hour. As we left, our moderator, Colonel Mike, back to you in terms of the UK and the next question.
All right, so let's start off with Sargis again. Sargis, let's do just a quick deep dive on the Brits being involved in, you know, since 1776 and before, all the way to 1812 and beyond. So start it up.
Well, like the Brits always, and of course, against the United States, we took this entire piece of property away from them. A lot of people may not know, it was until, of course, 1783, when it was 3 months after the Paris Treaty, Treaty of Paris, was signed, that Finally, you had the British leaving, but they still kept the force structures up in Canada, hoping that the U.S. economy would not be able to sustain itself. And then with that said, be able to come back and, you know, take the colonies again. And the first individuals who attacked us, of course, were the Barbary pirates. That's because the British pulled the shipping away. Or the protection of our shipping, since we became a independent nation, but they had agreements with those Barbary Coast pirates, and it was a freebie for them to attack U.S. shipping. So the Brits were always involved in this, and a lot of information has even emerged now historically that is starting to look at the fact that the conspiracy theories that initially started with John Wilkes Booth more likely started out of Canada, which were pushed by British intelligence officers to be able to get a front that individuals like John Wilkes Booth were part of to possibly be involved in the assassination through link analysis of Abraham Lincoln. Fast forward to years ago when we initially signed the this agreement with Iran, which is a I called it an economic agreement. Everybody talked about it being a nuclear agreement. And the fact was this. When Obama signed that agreement, mostly was to save Europe's collapsing economy and how it was weighing against the American economy to be able to save it from the global economy from hitting a global recession under his watch. Well, the first companies that went into Iran to negotiate for what the future economic deals would be were the American oil companies. But after they left, it was the Europeans that had an opportunity. I remember it very well when I talked about this on many shows, that the British were going in and actually were paying Iranians to demonstrate during the meetings that are taking place around the buildings that they were having meetings with the Iranian businessmen to scream debt to America. And then they were turning around saying, look, your own people hate America. Why don't we do this? You want to work with the American companies? Have them come through our British companies. And then that way, you know, the Brits would be the ones who would be leveraging, because the Brits never forgave the Americans for replacing their crony in Iran with, you know, our selected, hand-selected individual who would be basically running Iran before the revolution. With all that said, also, even currently what the British do is the British have opened up their visa program that takes the family members of every Iranian military officer and actually educates them in Britain.
Yes, sir.
And when I was, and when I was asked what would happen if there's a regime change and the finally the Iranian Americans are in go back to Iran to rebuild, that would give us leverage, wouldn't it? And I said no, because within the first 3 years, most of those Iranian Americans probably would get killed, and who would be probably whacking him? It would be those guys are tied to the Brits, because the Brits will not let go of Iran for the benefit of the United States. Look, on the surface, we're allies. We'll work together. But underneath, in the where the sausage is made, the Brits will do whatever they can to get their leverage in the area. Even when we initially took over from the Brits in Basra, when they were leaving, if you had looked at a lot of the companies that were Iranian-based companies that were causing problems, those Iranian-based companies, there was a British company behind them. So the Brits may have left Basra, but they're still sucking oil out of Basra. And who was getting blamed for everything that was happening in Iraq? The United States, not the Brits. So they understand the political game and the long-term usage of it much better than anyone from America, especially in the diplomatic circles on this.
All right, let's go to the Gulf 1 second, and I'll go with Ed on this one. Ed, in the Gulf, we have the former colonies, let's say, of the Brits, you know, the Gulf nations, and they do business constantly. And basically, you know, London is like the bank for Europe. It's like the Wall Street, but it's the Bank for Europe, but it actually runs operations in the Gulf and in the Middle East. And if you notice, when they broke away as colonies, they still kept the British in all the financing throughout the Gulf countries. Why don't you expand on that a little bit?
So that's very interesting. And it's also very interesting what Sarge just went into, because I'm not a Middle East expert. So this is, fascinating discussion for me. But based on the British colonies and the financing still in there, what this says to me and what Sarge is highlighting with the British is they play the long game. They do have a strategy.
Okay? Yes, they do.
And with the strategy, they know how to play the chips to then get their end game and objectives. But for the U.S., what it's pointing out for the U.S. is, what the hell's our strategy? What's our strategy been in the Middle East for the last 80 years? Okay, we've been played like fools. Whether it's a two-state solution or other aspects, we've been played like fools. What's our strategy for the Middle East? What's our strategy for Far East Asia? What's our strategy for Russia? There is none. What's our end game? So what we always do is we end up reacting. And when we're reacting here, when you have people doing is what Sarge suggests with the British, okay, or with Russia taking certain actions within Europe, okay, or China and Asia. They each have a strategy. They're moving towards their defined end objectives. And all we're doing is reacting. When you're reacting, you're losing the game here. And so whether it's the Middle East, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's China, okay, the U.S. is not in the field and playing the game. As a matter of fact, based on what Sarge is talking and the British funding and other aspects here, you can see how there's some purposeful efforts across those who are not our friends, but also those who are in the United States and who actually were president and other members of Congress to purposely undermine the U.S.'s position in the world and undermine our strength and undermine our security. And so this is what concerns me a lot, is we continually get played. And so back to you, Colonel Mike.
I'm going to go to Dr. Mike now. Dr. Mike, so, you know, knowing the Five Eyes and the intel community and the long game, wouldn't you say that this secures what we've been saying since, I don't know, the last big election when Trump was cheated out of being the president, how the intel agencies cahoots with the Biden and the Obama administration?
Well, sure, and with the British and the French and the Italians to make sure Trump didn't get in, it's perfectly understandable from the British viewpoint. They're used to having American pawn presidents, and have since FDR. And Trump was probably not going to be that way. They couldn't take the chance, and so they joined in and allowed the plan to be planned there, and then they helped illegally. Listening to Trump's conversations and his allies' conversations. So the British are the British. I'll tell you what happened to me just very briefly. We had Osama bin Laden in our target 3 or 4, 5 times, 6 times. They keep turning it down. So Tenet, who was the DCI, said, we need a second thread of intelligence. Let's ask the British to do it. And they didn't. They said they would. They didn't do a thing. And so that laid on the floor. The Arc people went along waiting for, like good colonials, waiting for Mother England to come back and tell us that, yeah, our work was good. We should do it. Nah, they didn't say a word. And the bad thing is we usually pay for their operations, or a lot of them. So they're a despicable nation in that terms. But what makes us despicable is we've played the lapdog since Churchill dumped the empire onto us at the end of World War II. It's a tremendous scar on American pride and American common sense to have anything to do with them except trade.
Okay, let's go back to Sargis. Sargis, you want to add anything to that?
I think pretty much everything's been said. Britain will do what is to his interest. Nobody will blame it. And as long as the Americans do not understand that, it is not really British's fault.
I'll just add one thing. Look what they did with Hong Kong. by dropping the ball in Hong Kong and giving it back and doing what they did. Look at what the Hong Kong people are facing now with communist China north of them. So, I mean, to me, it's like a triple cross. To me, I wouldn't trust the Brit. And if you're a MAGA fan out there listening to the America Out Loud.news channel, the National Security Hour, which we're on right now with Ed Hoagland, Dr. Mike Sargis, and myself. If you're one of those MAGA guys driving a Land Rover, trade it in. Go get yourself a Toyota. All right, Ed, go to you now.
Well, so it's a fascinating discussion, because what's really concerning here is you look at the globalists, you look at the new power relationships, you look what the British are doing here. And you've seen, as Dr. Mike talked about, how the purposeful allowing of immigrants to flood into Europe but not be assimilated. Okay, he's mentioned that before, not be assimilated. So from my perspective, this is what I call part of the ongoing cognitive war. People think a lot of this stuff is happenstance. There's no rhyme or reason. It's just non-coincidental. But from my perspective, how can it not be planned? How can it not be laid out? Now, maybe not to a fine grain of sand, but given what we're talking about here, and taking a look at how Europe, which was once free after World War II, okay, is now going back and succumbing to the very ideologies which it rejected, okay? And then look internal to the United States. And over the last six decades, you've seen the same thing happen. Not just the recent immigration flood, illegal immigration flood. This has been a cycle four or five times over the last six decades, okay? To continually flood the U.S. and such. And then with that, you see the different ideological bents. Now, it's not communism in my turn. It's in the cognitive war, I talk about cognitive war using different ways, ideology, religion, or issues. And the whole point is to gain power and absolute power. So my question back to you all here, because this is where I'm sort of stuck, is if the goal here is gaining absolute power, and they're driving the cultural misappropriation across these different countries from freedom, okay, what's their end game here? What's their end game that they're shooting for? It will take and remove the United States as a shining light on the hill. But with that, people tend to forget revolutions tend to eat their young, and they end up being slaughtered themselves. So what am I missing here? Back to you, Colonel Mike.
The end game is, you know, a one world government, one world religion. Rome plays a factor in this, the Vatican. The Brits play a factor in the European Union. I think Germany's the boss, though, but they're a weak boss. And I think we're pointing too many fingers. Excuse me a second. We're pointing too many fingers at, and we know there's things going on in Russia, but guess what? He has to stick up for his country. And Ukraine is a, I don't know, is it just a laundromat? Is it just a pawn? Is it a way that our corrupted leaders, our oligarchs right here in Washington, D.C., are getting their fun? I mean, just listen to this for a second. A babyface, that's my name. I'm going to call him Babyface. That's Babyface Johnson, the Speaker of the House. Like, you know, Babyface Nelson, you know what I mean? Real gangster, okay? The first order of business he does as Speaker of the House is have a bill passed for Israel. Now, let's not even just say it's Israel. Make believe it's a foreign country, but it's not Israel, okay? How the hell do you get up there and win the speakership and not even think about the freaking American people that are paying this money, but you have thoughts about Ukraine and Israel? I think at this point, Ed, the American people are so disgusted, okay, that we're lucky we don't have shit breaking out in the streets plain English. And now you have Mayorkas on the Hill that they don't know how they can impeach him. Impeachment means nothing. It's nothing. It's just a facade. And they don't even know how to go about it. So how corrupt are these people? The problem is the enemy is within us. The enemy is in us in America. The people are bought and sold. Our pimps on the Hill are no better than a pimp in the street, or these human traffickers coming across Mexico, you know, bringing bodies for whatever the amount of money is. Our problem is our elected leaders are so compromised and so blackmailed, we can't get anything done in this country other than a hand job in plain English. That's what we're getting for the money. And our money is going out the back door, the front door, the side door. And we have a president a former president who loved America, who wanted to make it great again, you know, trumped up on fake charges in New York City, fighting for his ass, you know, because we got all these George Soros and lefty lawyers and attorney generals. And, you know, the legal profession in America, you should hide your head in shit. Every one of you freaking lawyers and associations, hide your head in dog shit, that you're not out there speaking for the American people with law. What do you got? Just Jonathan Turley out there? How many guys are like Jonathan Turley? All you guys are bloodsuckers. Okay, we don't need more lawyers. We don't need more judges. What does Mike say? We need more common sense. Dr. Mike, what do you say?
Well, I think you're exactly right, Colonel, and I've agreed with most of what everyone said on this show. But I think we need something much more broad than that in this country. We need an education system that teaches children that their empathy belongs to their country and their family, not anywhere overseas. That if people get into a jam overseas, that's not America's responsibility to take care of them, either for democracy or for religion. You know, I've written several times. I'm a Catholic and I've always been, but if somebody bombed the Vatican, I certainly would not want to send American troops to defend or pick up the pieces or rebuild it. It's the country that has to come first, and our education system teaches the exact opposite of that. So I'm afraid, and as time goes on and we talk about this, that I'm afraid what I'm seeing in the Congress is what you just described, but also it's a reflection of so many Americans that they think somehow some guy that works in a factory should pay his taxes so we can make sure there's democracy in Ukraine. And that's an idiot statement, democracy in Ukraine, to even start with. But that's what goes on here, and we don't object to it. We elect people who continually support it. So the British are to blame for a lot of things, but what's to blame is mostly in America.
We're going to have to go to break here in a second here. So let me hop in here. So let's take that education theme and bring it to the other side after this break here, because I think Dr. Shorey hits on a key element here. Okay, for all those listening out there, whether it's listening to the Charger Show, the Two Mike Show of mine, America Outlaw Talk Radio plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can listen to us any media player on any web browser at any time, anywhere in the world, 24/7. Just make sure you go to AmericaOutloud.news, AmericaOutloud.news. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the NASA Security Hour. We're having a great discussion here with four guys from the NASA Security Hour, and you're going to get some fantastic insights that you're not going to get anywhere else in any other news station, any other podcast, anywhere else in the world, right here. But as we went to break, Dr. Mike hit the nail on the head, in my opinion here. In the United States here, we've seen over the last several decades here, not just the demise of the U.S. family, but the demise of our education system, K-12 universities and colleges. The education system has become an indoctrination system. And more recently, same thing has happened throughout our U.S. military academies, military officers training schools, and also the war colleges, right? And Dr. Mike hit the nail on the head when he said, what we really need to do is go back and make sure we're educating our people on America, the benefits, the values, and every aspect of what America is. Because if you're born here in America, you are, by definition, as a U.S. citizen, the most privileged people on earth. But Americans don't understand that because they're not educated anymore on this stuff.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
So, okay, education. Now, let's just roll back a second. What did they do since, you know, all of us guys were young back in the 60s when we were ready to go to college? They started the Franklin Schools. The Franklin Schools were started up in New York at the New York University, Columbia University. These were prestigious universities to get in. And at the time we were going to school, it was affirmative action, the first round, where we were told, well, you got to step aside, maybe give another guy a job, you know, another guy an opportunity. And we had to go to secondary schools or schools out of the country. Some of my friends happened to go to Mexico and some of them went to Italy to become doctors. So that was round one. And then that was the softening. That was to get the hippie generation, let's say, acclimated to what would be, you know, the new post-Vietnam. And that's where they struck hard at America. And right now, when you look at what's going on in the streets, what's going on the bridges, what's going on blocking airports, look, this is international commerce. And the Fed's job, FBI's job, is to be out there and make commerce move. That's their job. It's interstate. Okay. If you were smuggling cigarettes from North Carolina to Virginia, you would be locked up for interstate commerce. Okay. But for some reason, they're not doing it. And then you say to yourself, why aren't they doing it? Okay, and who's behind this? Now, a lot of us on this channel may agree and say, well, it's Hamas, the Hamas people or Iranian money. Hey, I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to peel the onion, like I say. How do we know it's not the Brits? How do we know it's not the Israelis? How do we know it's not the American government? Okay, but they're allowing this to happen. The fact that American government's allowing this to happen and are still jailing people in J6, the J6 protesters at Capitol Hill, gives me question. So who wants to take it from here? Mike or Sargis or Ed?
Let's just Sargis hop in here. We haven't heard from him for a second here.
Go ahead.
I'll hop in after that. Thank you.
Look, countries make business deals. The people in those countries that make business deals are the people that are capable at the billionaire, trillionaire levels to make those deals. When I had to talk to the Japanese Diet, they had asked me to put a message out for them because they were seeing the influence of China in the region. I did a video for them a couple of years ago. And in discussions with the general officer from the Japanese military had asked me about it. I said, look, you have to understand the business relations, right? Because he asked me, why does the U.S. act the way it is? It seems like it just is trying to burn diplomatically every relationship it has with every single Asian nation. Is this done on purpose or are the ambassadors basically incompetent? I says, somewhat of both. Some are good, but the reality is that there might be a purpose. Again, I go back to that whole power relations. But I reminded him, I said, look, in World War II, United States, as you know, dropped 2 nuclear bombs on you. They were from 2 different, basically, companies, and we looked at what the possible capabilities of those bombs were. Now, with that said, what happened all the way through from World War II all the way into the 80s? I said, you were allowed to expand. You became a large economy, which we helped you. You were allowed to have the first bids on oil, other relationships in the Middle East. You even had individuals from your nation, becoming provinces for Peru, and so on, so on, so on. So now, why is it that today you think that they're suddenly stopping you from being able to have that success? Why is it that when you have a mining company under U.S. watch in Afghanistan at the time we were there operating, suddenly it gets attacked by Taliban? And when you peel back the onion on where the dollars came from, it's from a from the Chinese to those Taliban cells that attacked the Japanese mining company, which forced you to leave. Why exactly. Is it that they're not now allowing you to have the larger footprint in Basra and other places? Because from their perspective, we paid you. Okay, we experimented on you. We owed you the money for you to build your economy. No longer. Now it's somebody else's turn to do this. And that's how these countries operate, or these global elites. For the United States, the last paycheck that came to us from the Lend-Lease program from the British was in actually March of the 2020, the COVID year. That was the last time they paid us a check back for what they owed us from World War II.
And good catch, Sargis. That's a good catch, by the way. I didn't even know that. Go ahead.
And for these nations, the way they look at it, okay, U.S., you had an opportunity for 20 years in the Middle East. You made your dollars. But unfortunately, it wasn't that the U.S. made its dollars. It was others that made their dollars. Now it's time for you to step back. Now it's time for this agreement you have with China, for them to be able to harness the requirements out of the region and Middle East. Look, and part of it is also, and I know that Mike would understand this, part of this is also how our intelligence agencies somewhat operate, right? We got to go back. We were talking about our school systems and why they're in the position they are. Well, if you go back to World War II, as I mentioned, what is the most famous operation? It was the Operation Overcast. That was later renamed Operation Paperclip. We brought 1,600 German scientists here and their families. We educated them. We harnessed their information. We used them as a means of us being paid back for the money we had to spend to fight Germany. And we put them in all our institutions, from Harvard all the way to Columbia and every other major institutions that we had. Now, even though Harry Truman had forbidden any of those agencies from recruiting any Nazis or active Nazi supporters, what did the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency do, which is a forerunner to the CIA? They bypass his directives and eliminate any type of whistleblowing that would show any evidence of these individuals actually being involved in war crimes. And guess what? You bring a Nazi fascist nationalist to the United States, you give him money, you put him in these institutions, what do you think he's going to do?
And that's why the universities are where they are today, because the social Marxists came in, they brought in the Franklin School, and then the rich emigres' grandchildren, who became very wealthy, super oligarch wealthy in this country from, you know, certain European nations of a certain race, okay, they donated heavily, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to all of these Ivy Poison Ivy League schools that I call them, okay, which created this Hate America program, and now it's come back to bite them in the ass. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, yeah, so there's a lot there's going on as you're talking about. And this is where, you know, from my standpoint, a lot of this is pre-planned, well laid out and thought, because the radical left plans well ahead here. And our adversaries do as well. And they use our weaknesses that we have, because they know that after World War II and after we won the Cold War, we disbanded much of what we had in terms of capabilities, capacity, and expertise to actually compete on the world scene. And they've used that to then usurp that and drive what they did in Europe now into the United States. So my concern here is, gentlemen, is we have about 9 minutes left, is where do we go from here? What are the solutions here? So whether it's in the Middle East, you know, the two-state solution obviously is not going to work. Whether it's with Ukraine, okay, we need to come to some sort of peace agreement with Russia, because Ukraine's obviously not going to win that one, okay, no matter how much they hope and pray, because Biden and other aspects have always been a day late, dollar short, purposefully, in my mind. Okay. And in China, we see China eat our lunch not only here in the United States, but worldwide continually because we lack a strategy and opinion. So let me go back and ask each of you all, you know, where do we go from here? And you know, Dr. Mike had one great solution. We need to focus on our education. And we need to educate our people what they have. Let's go.
Well, yeah, education is one thing. We have to purge the bureaucracy, surely. And rapidly and totally. And we have to stop sending American generals to years off at school at Harvard and Yale and the rest of them. And it's a very thoroughgoing cleansing that this country needs, not in terms of death, but I mean, in terms of lunacy. You stop saying things like, wars never settle anything. Well, it's completely untrue. But they never settle anything if your president doesn't care if he wins when you go into it, which is what we've had since 1945. No president has wanted to win the war. We have never, for example, for all of our hatred and detestation of Iran, we have never bombed a Hezbollah training camp. Never. And we know where they are. We have ink drawings. We have overhead imagery. It's such a big job to take on, but you got to have somebody at the helm. You know, all I really said was it's a huge job. We all know that, but it's going to take a man at the top or a woman, but I think a man more likely. It's got like Trump, who doesn't give a damn about what other people think about him as long as he gets the job done.
My take is quick, and then I'll go to Ed and Sargis. But my take is I don't think a leader, whether it's a president or a vice president, there's too many people in Congress with different opinions and different, business interests. We have too many companies involved in war, which is part of our economy. And I forgot who said it recently. It creates jobs. One of the former IC guys said, hey, what the heck? It's jobs anyway. And, you know, it's just too many people to make decisions that don't respect when we vote for a president, a vice president, or a congressman. So I think it's so corrupted. It's a top-down cleanse. I mean, you need a disinfectant. Even the Supreme Court. I mean, it's a joke. And Ed, you've spoken about it many times about what they did to the military institutions. You know, with the red lipstick and the high heels. I mean, how do we send these guys off anywhere? But I just want to add one thing to what Sarge said previously. We helped Germany rebuild after World War II. We helped Japan get on their feet, and they became good allies. Both of them became good allies for a while. Okay, we were doing industry, business was going back and forth, really nice. But you know, we never did that for Vietnam, and I was always curious why we never went in there and said, "Okay, we'll help Vietnam." But now Vietnam is doing it on its own, with help of China, naturally, and other nations within Southeast Asia. So, Ed, I'll go to you next on this. What do you think?
Well, you know, you raised the other point the other day. Why didn't we do the same thing with the former Soviet Union and Russia, right? It was a natural fit to go economy-wide. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, Dr. Mike raised a perfect point. Since 1945, no one's really wanted to win the war, right? And so because of that, we perpetuate our own misery significantly. But I agree with them. You know, we need to purge the bureaucracy, much like Eisenhower and Marshall did before World War II, when everyone wanted to hang on their horses and cavalry. Okay, they cleaned house. And when Trump gets back in, if we have an election, he's going to need to clean up the bureaucracy. We're not just going to have to touch up the national security apparatus. We need to completely overhaul the national security apparatus. And what I mean by that, the CIA needs to be split up, cut up, and disbanded into different piece parts. Same thing with the FBI, DOJ. The whole intelligence community need to be reorganized because they don't know how to compete in cognitive war. All they know how to do is muddle in different things and cause different pain, and they become weaponized and politicized. So we have to, and stopping the generals going to Harvard, let's stop sending all of our main senior executives and stuff all to the White River aspects, to the Atlantic Council and other aspects where they're going to get this brainwashing from different aspects. I mean, we are doing it to ourselves. And the key aspect here that I don't think Americans understand, but if you're listening to the gentleman today, what's the greatest existential threat? It's not China. It's not Russia. It's internal. And with yes, that, let me is. turn it Sargis, you got about 2 minutes before the end here. Back to you, Sargis, and I'll close this out.
2 minutes, sir.
Demographically, the largest group of individuals that are applying to be part of the State Department are Asians and Indians. If you look at, as I mentioned in previous discussions, even American companies like TSMC, their family members are linked to the individuals are tied back to the Green Gang, which were the originators of the Chinese Communist Party. So these nations have made roots here. Even if you redesignate or change or move people around in various different departments, that route would be hard to cut off. Imagine telling a general officer who's graduated from West Point that, you know, your father and his grandfather are tied to the Green Gang. You need to sever those relations. He's not going to do it because of the blood relations. What is his approach going to be? Is he going to be able to be loyal to the U.S. or to his family structure? Those are the issues that you're going to have to counter. With that said, I think when the Trump administration comes in, if he comes in, they're going to have him probably spending time making deals, possibly making a deal with Russia on Ukraine in order to be able to possibly get the piece of the pie of Venezuela under U.S. control. And if they got him occupied that way, that means that he's going to be more preoccupied with making those deals rather than focusing on what needs to be done internally to the country. I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, Sargis, wrap it up. Thank you. Colonel Mike, thanks for moderating today. Dr. Mike and Sargis, thanks for joining us. You know, I've learned a lot today. I don't know about you out there in the audience, but I sure as heck learned a lot today. That's why it's great, because you have this diverse set of folks that really have an in-depth expertise. And so when you come to NASA Security Hour, you're going to hear on the NASA Security Hour what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. We will go outside the fog of the daily cast to give you a strategic perspective on national security issues and speak truth to power so that you, the people, and us together can best ensure the resilience and security of our republic. Thanks for joining us on the mission. The National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America.